When I was in seminary, one of my classmates was a married guy, and he told us in one of our groups that he and his wife were having a little trouble with their little girl. She had started inexplicably tearing up printed books. And she even did it to one library book. And so they sat her down and just said, "Now, what's going on? Why have you started doing this? You know you're not supposed to hurt books," and all of this. They had this little talk with her. And she wasn't upset. She just said that she loved the characters in the book so much that she wanted to get them to come out and play with her. I think all of us, as we read any kind of fiction or any kind of story or legend or myth or scripture even, we want it to come alive. We want to be part of the story. We want the words that we read in those books to come out and to be with us in some way. It is essential to human nature, I think, for us to want to participate in things. And of course, as Christians, our book, our story, is scripture inspired by God. And there is this long, complicated, confusing, but sometimes comforting, challenging story told to us in our holy book. Now, in the Christian tradition, especially the modern Christian tradition, we have put tremendous emphasis on the phrase, the Word of God. The thing that is our task is for us to take the Word of God and to make that come alive in our lives, to make it become incarnate in the things that we do, in the way that we treat other people. But as we grow and mature into the Christian life, we learn that Scripture is not the words of God, but the Word of God. And the difference is that the Word of God, if you capitalize W, refers to Jesus, refers to the incarnation of what is in the book, the character coming alive in a human person, and then inspiring us to model that behavior. Our passage from 1 Thessalonians today tells us he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. This passage talks about taking the power of the Word of God, again, not just the words on the page, but Jesus, the Word incarnate, and imitating his behavior and his love of other human beings, and especially his love of God. As Episcopalians, probably more than some traditions, we love our words. We love our books. We use words, human language, in worship, in scripture, in our liturgy. Every week we use words, simple human words, to express our beliefs in the Nicene Creed. But I want us to remember that it's not a magical recitation. It's not something that happens just because we say it over and over. It is the case that we are to let those words that we recite have an effect on how we treat other people, how we live our lives, and how we make our choices. The words of God must become the Word of God, love incarnate. We must make this book come alive, or none of it means anything. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes something that, if you've been to a wedding recently, you've probably heard it. He writes, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." He goes on to say, "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And as I tell young couples, as they, if they choose this for their wedding service, Paul here is not describing human love. He is describing the nature of divine love. And because the love of God is all these things, we enlist that love, that power, in our relationships. We translate words about the presence of God into the actual presence. And we do it by loving one another, by trying to be patient and kind. Now, there is much controversy in some Christian circles about sort of a conflict, as it's expressed, between faith and works. Which is more important, faith or works? Of course, the faith is expressed in our words. But to say, should we emphasize faith or works, it's, I guess you'd call it a false dichotomy. These two things are not in tension, and they are not exclusive. They're different manifestations of one thing. And that one thing is our transformation into the living image of Christ. If we say the words of our Christian tradition, our faith, and if we live those words and take them seriously, then we will undertake acts of kindness and compassion and forgiveness. The words, the faith, should change us. And as human beings, as physical beings, this thought of incarnation is helpful to us because we are physical. And we want, in our human nature, we want something we can hang on to that's tangible, that expresses what we believe. So how do we make the story come alive? How do we invite that central character of Jesus to come out and to become real in our lives? We do it in one way by coming together as the body of Christ. We find strength in our community. And we try to bring together as much of the body of Christ as we can in varying circles. In our family, in our churches, in our neighborhoods, in our friends. But ultimately, we're able to find community if we can remember that we are all in one community, experiencing and enduring the human condition. We all go through the same things, the same kinds of things that we rejoice over or that we grieve over. John Kennedy once wrote, "For in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future. And we are all mortal." If we remember those immense pieces of human life that we share, that we have in common, we come into community with people and we help each other sort out the joys and the sorrows. And we learn together how to love one another. And when we can do that, we bring the story of Jesus into our own time and place and into our own human flesh. The message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. The words of God become the Word of God incarnate. Love is patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These are the words of God that we read in our holy book. These are the words that are beautiful and moving and ethereal. And when we live as Jesus taught us, then that message of the gospel comes to life in power and through the Holy Spirit, we can do this work every day of our human lives. We don't have to do it in a structured worship setting or a church setting. We bring Jesus to life when we forgive, when we embrace, when we remember even the smallest moment that it is more important to love than to win. In these small acts, we see the story of unconditional love, a story that moves us so deeply that we want it to come out of the book and into our lives. And when we do it, on those rare occasions when we can do it, there we have the mind of Christ, and we have found and offered something that we can touch and feel and carry. We become for a moment, in part at least, the Word of God, Jesus, alive and breathing wherever two or three are gathered in his name. And in us, if only for that moment, that story we have loved so much for so long has come out of the book and has come to life. Amen.